Well, good morning again. I'd like to take this moment to wish all of you moms a happy Mother's Day. Amen. This is one day a year we get, of course, to honor mothers and all they do, mostly unnoticed the other days of the year, but we do want to honor moms. And the demands placed on a woman once she becomes a mother are considerable. And sometimes our view of motherhood changes and we get a little better understanding it, and we go from maybe what I thought years ago, but we have a short little clip here this morning and kind of give you a modern-day view of motherhood. So if we could pull that up, get some volume going there, John. Yo-yo, not amen, yo-yo. Instead of amen, that's pretty funny. Well, I told you it was a modern-day view of motherhood, so I thought I'd get a kick out of that, you know. So it's just, as I said, the demands placed on a mom's considerable, and in talking and listening to a lot of mothers over the years, either just in general conversation or sometimes just into counseling issues, and most moms I would talk to kind of feel like they're inadequate. They could have done a better job, you know, we try to take this day and encourage them and tell them we don't believe that as well. But it's just something we struggle with. And it really doesn't help that in the last 20, 25 years that society has done a great job of clouding the traditional view of mothers. I mean, things have changed. And, And if we would put pictures up here, I mean, we've gone from, you know, years ago, remember Leave It to Beaver and June Cleaver, you know, to not too many years ago, Roseanne. I mean, these extreme switches of how they view women and how society views mothers. And they've really demoralized them and put them down quite a bit. And I say we've gone from the traditional view to from a loving, supportive, wholesome mother to the Roseannes of motherhood. And for now, years now, God's idea of family has really been under attack. And while the vast majority, I believe all men and women, desire a healthy family, I don't think anybody gets married to say, I'm just going to have a huge dysfunctional family. We get married and say we're going to have a healthy family. There's little in society that models that. And how do we get that viewpoint? How do we understand it? Where do we get that from? TVs and movies, we've talked about many times over the years, show little, if any, families that are functional, families that are healthy, that they portray the dysfunction. In fact, just last night, we were at dinner conversation. Of course, Kelsey and Mike are up, and we had dinner to celebrate Mother's Day today, and Chris and Tyler's birthday is next Saturday. And we're just talking about the change in society and talking about TV and movies and all the things that have diluted, really, our view of society and how we look at the normal things. And I was talking about some things like years ago, in my generation, kids in school, I mean, if they had sex outside of marriage, they did it, but it was considered horribly wrong. The average generation, when you talk to the youth today, they just think it's normal. They just think it's normal. And you look at a lot of other things on TV, and that is viewpoint, and the marriage is broken down, that women become either stupid or manipulative, and it's just changing drastically. And even as Micah, I think, was interesting, he was commenting, he said, really, when you look at our society, what they portray is not what we see in our neighborhoods, but they portray it as if it is. You know, for example, homosexuality and all those types of things. It's kind of a twisted view. So as men and women and husbands and wives and dads and moms drift farther away from God's plan, farther away from the biblical view of marriage and family, farther away from godliness, they find themselves in failure and in pain. And that's really what happens. You get outside of God's direction for your life, and it's going to cause dysfunction, failure, and pain. And from that, we can be very thankful that there is restoration and healing in Christ. Amen? I mean, if you're struggling in your relationship or maybe struggling past with other relationships, there's always restoration in Christ, and it's important to remember that. And as women embrace the role of motherhood, and as many of the young ladies in this congregation that may be looking forward to it someday, you'll find one simple truth. And that's when you choose and purpose to be a godly woman first, yielding to God's will and purpose for you, your role as a wife, mother, woman will be stronger and will be better. And that goes whether you're a woman or a man. It's just the reality of it as well. As men and husbands, and even the young men with us that may not even be a husband, obviously, but someday will be, as you better understand God's plan for your life and your plan for your future, you will be far richer for it. One of the most important things men can do is help their wives be all they can be in Christ. So we're going to look a little bit at women this morning. And before I go much further, I want to tell you men something. This is not an announcement for you to check out. Okay, you're sitting, okay, they're talking about women. I can just take this little trip in my mind what I'm going to do today, because God's going to speak to you through this as well, and you'll see that it can play a very important role in their lives. But I do feel led of God to kind of honor women today in the Scripture and see what Scripture has to say about it. While the Word, as I said, has a lot to say about women and motherhood in general, there is a particular portion of Scripture that many go to often to help us understand better the role of a woman and mother. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. You'll find on page 448 in the Pew Bibles. Now, as you head over to Proverbs 31 with us, I could almost hear silently some audible groans, because I've heard them over the years from women that hear that, and they listen to Proverbs 31 and all the titles that goes with it, and they feel like it's a woman that's portrayed that they can't live up to. And we're going to look at something a little different in this morning here. And many have thought that it's a chapter on being the perfect wife, but there's far more in here than that. Now, as I've done some looking over past times, you know, this portion of Scripture, it does address the wife, but also more clearly speaks of a godly woman. and see what it means to be a woman that loves God. Now, when we talk about men and women, obviously we know there's some vast differences. We've said for years, men as a whole, we compartmentalize. We talk about we're task-oriented. We live in one room at a time, is how we've talked about this. And whatever we're doing at that moment, that's the room we're in as men. If we're working, we're kind of in the workroom. If we're at home watching TV, the woman will kind of, you know, shout yes to this. We're watching TV and nothing else is going on around us. We do one thing at a time. That's kind of how we live. And women live in one big room. And so when we say men that we live in one room at a time, what we're doing for the most part, that's where we're at that moment. Women as a whole live in one big room and their whole life is wrapped up in that room. Everything that they're doing is wrapped up in that one big room. So whether they're a wife, whether a mother, whether just a woman, it's all kind of tied together. And we don't get this. I mean, I think that's sometimes why, as we're sitting there, we'll get these conversations that seem to come out of nowhere. It's like, where did that thought come from? They'll ask you a question or something. It's because they live in this one big room. And they said a woman's life is like a river. The past, present, and the future all kind of run together at the same time. So just kind of understanding that, we can't talk a lot about that. But as we said a minute ago, as we draw nearer to God's will, His plan and purpose for our lives, we will be better at every role in our life. As a man, you will be a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better grandfather, a better employee or employer. The same for the woman. You'll be a better woman, a better wife, a better mother, a better grandmother, whatever your type of employment or work there may be, whether it's home or outside of it. When you follow God's will, you will do far better. Now, the first 9 verses or so of Proverbs 31 here are warnings and encouragement to a man's son. King Lemuel, I think it is, and he's speaking to him. And he's warning him and encouraging at the same time. And all throughout Proverbs, it really speaks often about the warnings of the ungodly enticements. And it speaks to the man a lot about ungodly enticements. Be careful about the woman that draws you away. And I find it very interesting why I have all those warnings and shouts throughout Proverbs for the man to be careful. It closes with this portrayal of a woman that you can follow hard after, that you can be part of in your life, that it's a godly woman and God's plan for that woman. So it starts out in Proverbs 31. I got to get to the right page here. And it starts out, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him, and a lot of the translations in the original language means really at his mother's knee. And so you begin to understand here that you'll see that the woman, the mother, has a great impact in her children's lives and the lives around them. So it says, these are the words that this king is saying, I learned at my mother's knee and I desire to pass them on there. Now, some Bibles and some commentaries put a heading across our scriptures or our beginning of our chapters, and you'll see that. I have found over Proverbs 31, the perfect wife, the wife of noble character, or the model woman. Now, when we see these little headings in our Bibles, if you have that type of Bible, please understand that heading is, if you will, a commentary. It's really not scripture. It's somebody, and I'm not saying they're necessarily wrong, but it's somebody that has kind of put that particular scripture together, and they are saying, this is what we're saying, where this is direction's going. And so while this section clearly speaks to the wife, I think it speaks to the woman in general as well. And I think the woman of noble character, the model woman, would be a good heading if you're looking for one. A lot of women think that, they read that, they read this, and they think, I could never be all of that. I could never do this. When I read this woman in here, it's like, it's not me, and it's not close to me, and I could never do all of that. And they struggle, or they see little pieces and parts they're doing. And first of all, I want to encourage you. I mean, there are plenty of scriptures that we hear as men, and we have the same response. We look at what a godly man's supposed to be, and a man of God, and a man of godly character, and while we hopefully hunger for that, we know we have failings and we fall short in those areas. And we struggle with that, as you will in your own life as well as a woman. The problem is when we respond that way to Scripture, we are missing its point. When we say, I could never be all that, I can't do that, I've tried, I've never met up to it, you're missing God's point, and you are looking at your performance and your works. You're looking at what you've been able to do, and you're missing out on what God's saying. This is what I desire for you, and I will enable you to do it as you follow me. is not about performance. It's really more about character, godly character that then impacts our behavior. So whether it's a man looking at the things God's speaking to him or the woman this morning, it's God speaking to you saying, this is what I have for you. This is where I want to take you as I nurture you in the things of God. It becomes godly character. Proverbs 31 is a beautiful picture of a woman, heart after God's heart, functioning in godly character. And as she functions in her godly character, her behavior, her heart becomes a huge blessing and a benefit to her husband, to her children, to her community, and certainly to her church. The book of Proverbs, whose motto is, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," closes with a poem about a woman of valor, a strong, courageous woman. And as I said a moment ago, Proverbs warns much to the man and the young man about the enticing and godly woman, and then closes with the beauty of a godly woman. So clearly part of God's plan. Now, Proverbs 31, I said the first nine verses, he's speaking to his son about warnings and enticements. Then he begins to speak about this godly woman. And from verses 10 through the close of 31 is really originally written as a poem. And it's an acrostic poem. And the first verse of the first verse of chapter 10 and ongoing is the first letter of the original language, the Hebrew language alphabet. So it's as if we took and we say, we're going to write a poem for so many verses, and the first word of the first sentence is going to begin with an A, and then the second sentence will begin with a B. And that's what they would do at times past then, and that's what scholars begin to see in the original language here. It's an acrostic poem. And may they say sometimes they did that to help them remind them or memorize things, and it was also just kind of a genre of writing. But that's what's happening here. And this scripture poem here, please understand, exalts and honors the dignity of womanhood and the importance of a woman's teaching. It really lifts up the woman in a great way, and her value is derived from her character of godly wisdom that is beneficial to her family, to herself, and to her community as a whole. Now, traditionally, this section here from 10 on, this is very interesting to me, was recited by husbands and children in the Sabbath night dinner. It would almost be like, you know, on their Friday night, our Sabbath night dinner for them, and our Sabbath night, they would sit the mom down and they would recite this section of scripture to her, this Old Testament Proverbs 31. Can you imagine the power and the strength in that? Rather than a woman thinking, this is too much for me, I could never accomplish this, I'm never going to be this woman, or I'm really struggling in these areas and I have my ups and I have my downs, her family sings her praises, blessing her and thanking her for her godliness and for her contribution to their life and for her work. What a contrast we see today. I said before, the media portrays women as insignificant or dumb or manipulating or mere objects of desire and gratification. We do not see media of any kind today lifting women up with honor and dignity. But you sure see it in God's heart. You sure see it in God's heart. And if you think for a moment that Scripture starts to belittle the woman and puts the woman down, you're missing it entirely. Because God does just exactly the opposite. So we see the world today putting women down and demeaning women and demeaning the role of a woman. And all too often come along, her family is unappreciative of all she does. And rather than lifting her up, may complain about what she doesn't do. Husbands may come along and belittle her. And that's way out of what God has planned for them. What would happen to families if once a week the husband and the children, if they have them, would sit down at the Sabbath table and took time to tell the mom how much they appreciate her, speak godliness into her life, speak blessings into her life, rather than complaining about dinner being late or whatever it may be? Can you think, can you imagine for a moment how that would change the viewpoint of the woman? So often the woman begins to feel less than herself and less than what she's supposed to be because she has been put down throughout either her children or her family. It's way out of God's plan. So I think that's staggering that they would sit down and do this on a regular basis and speak these things into her life. Part of God's understanding of our makeup and our psyche, of who we are and how that would encourage and build up. If we did that, maybe then we would begin to see the honor and dignity that God places on a woman, what he places on them. Now, we really don't have time today to look at all of Proverbs 31. We'll do a little bit what we can, and I totally understand that I'm coming from this as a viewpoint of a man. I get that. I've never lived as a woman. I've never even dressed up as a woman. Aren't you glad to hear that? Okay? So, I may not get women, but I do know in the Scripture, and I can do my best to pull Scripture, Barton. That's what I'm going to do today. But let's look a little bit of here. We're going to pick this up, as we said, verse 10, because that's really where it starts out at. And the first couple of verses says, who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of gain. Now, this virtuous woman here really means a woman of noble character. Some translations do that. It means a woman of strength of character, of moral strength. And the wife and mother who is strong in the Lord, strong in character, strong in her morality, a noble woman of valor is really what it's saying here, who loves God, who puts God first, follows after him. He says this woman, first of all, is hard to find. Because that's not what you're going to find in society. And it sure isn't today. You're not going to see it portrayed today. But when you find that woman, or even if you're a woman that's on that path, on that goal to become that woman, you become a treasure in God's eyes and in the eyes of your family as well. So they're saying this virtuous woman, this woman that God desires for you to be, is hard to find, but you can do it as you follow after God, and that you become a woman that is an absolute treasure. He says your price, your value is far above rubies. And this ruby here was a high, precious stone and gem at the time, most desired. And he's saying, when you follow hard after God, look at the value you have. That you are so much more valuable than the material items and rubies. You are literally priceless. And you begin to see once again, just starting out, that dignity and honor that God places on you as a woman. This virtuous woman has a strength of character, moral strength, and a description of a wife of noble character signifies that she possesses all the virtues, honor, and strength to do the things that the poem will set forth. And so rather, as I said this a little bit ago, looking at this going, I can never do this, I can never be this woman, all you got to do is say, I'm going to start continuing in my life, and I'm going to start harder to follow after God. I'm going to allow his word to direct me and to shape me and to become part of who I am. And in so doing, I will become this person. I will become this person because God will enable it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do most of what the Bible says when I call on Jesus. You guys have that translation? I can do some things when I call on Christ. I can do everything, all things, through Christ, when and who he strengthens me. I can't do it on my own. Men, we know we can't do it on our own, but we can do it when Christ strengthens us. Whatever we're called to do, we can do. And notice this here, this woman that follows hard after God, she's valuable. Her heart of her husband safely trusts in her, has full confidence in her, and will have no lack of gain. See, a godly woman has a huge impact on her husband, on his success, on his well-being. And so husbands and men, as you look to maybe having a wife someday, if you're not married to this point, I mean, you need to understand that this woman in your life will have a huge benefit on everything you touch. And when you begin to not appreciate that and not build her up for all she can be in Christ, you're hurting yourself more than anything. And so it's this point of this man that can safely trust in her, and he'll have no lack of gain. He'll move forward. He'll have no lack of anything. It's actually one of the things after Psalm 22, the Lord, or 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's the same wording. That all my things, all my life will be fulfilled because I have a partner in life that is following God with me. The husband who speaks peace, trust, confidence in his wife will be a blessed man. The husbands begin to get this idea and to get this understanding of turning maybe how he's been talking and speaking these things into his wife's life will be truly blessed. And he has a great benefit. Verse 12, so she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. It becomes a pattern for life that is a blessing in the relationship that they're looking to do good and not harm. Great benefit. Now, if we don't take the time to go through, but verses 13 through 15 speaks of a woman with a very, very busy household. Several that look to her for their care. She has responsibilities, food, clothing, works with her hands. Under her care, there's a continual supply of abundance, and she's extremely busy. Now, I know you women today have a hard time relating to that, right? Because your lives are just a life of ease, amen? No amens? I mean, we can relate to it. You know, it's somebody that's just crazy, crazy busy. Verses 16 through 18 portrays the noble woman as a wife, businesswoman, dealing with her finances well, handling the things of the household, putting great honor and respect on this woman of God. One commentator puts it this way: this is a fascinating picture of the role of the lady of the house in the ancient world, active in planning, trading, spinning, and providing. You know, if we're not careful, we get this Old Testament viewpoint of women were put down and they were less than the man, and that's totally wrong from what God says about a man and a woman. We understand that there are roles, and the man is the head of the household. I'm not saying none of that. But we get this whole thing like the man is superior, and that's not scripturally correct. In fact, one of the scriptures that helped me understand it more than anything is the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, Jesus confirmed in the New Testament, that when a man and a woman become married, they become what? One flesh. They become one flesh, one. You don't get any more equal than that, do you? Hello? I mean, you're a smart group. You can figure that out, right? One flesh, you're the same, you're the equal. And that's what God's saying. So you begin to see as a man, it is your benefit, as I said earlier, to encourage and to build up and lift up your wife in your life. Cultures change. God's plan, his heart, does not. God brings great honor upon the godly woman, the godly wife, the godly mother, the woman of God. In these verses, I said she's busy. At times, day and night, verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. In other words, you know, when the things get dark, it's almost like her work's not done because she's a harder following God and she puts whatever's in front of her to do. And I know you ladies can relate to that because you know how busy you are. You work all day, maybe outside the house or in the home, and you come home and there's a ton of work to be done. And the woman's heart just follows after that. Verse 19, we'll pick that up in verse 19. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, which is the shank of the spindle. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for her household is clothed with scarlet. And it's talking about her providing to her households here. But what I think is really interesting in this set of scripture, her hands are busy providing for her family, and yet her hands reaches out to the poor and needy. It really means she opens her palms to the poor. And that's the heart of a godly woman. She has all these needs at home, all these things she's trying to meet, all these crazy needs, and yet she has a heart to give to those in needy. And if I've seen anything in the church, I've seen the women have a heart for those that are struggling and doing without. Finding a way to get them food, finding a way to get them clothing, finding a way to meet their needs. Let there be a family that we don't even know that goes through some kind of serious crisis. We've had families, the houses have been burnt down, and the women get around that and say, man, we're going to meet that need. We're going to find a way to do something with that. And that's the heart of a godly woman. A godly woman's heart reaches beyond her inner circle, if you will. And I wonder how many children and husbands of well have learned generosity and giving and lack of self by observing the heart of a godly mother, a godly woman. You see, you begin to see the impact this has on the entire household and the community as well. Verses 21 through 24, because of a healthy home, nurturing, her husband is respected in the community, does well in his business work. And that ties in what I said before. When things are well at home, the things you put your hand to become easier and a blessing because you don't have these struggles at home. And how many would agree that when you've been through a difficult time or you're going through an argument or fight and there's tension at home, things don't go well during the day? Amen? It's on your mind. You're thinking about it. It's like you really can't function well because this whole thing's not happening well in your household. And so there's this blessing of following the things of God. And the following verses paint this wonderful picture. Look at verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Here's this picture of this woman, viewed as a woman of strength, a woman of dignity, with a wonderful character trait that she passes on to her children by example and by all she does. I repeat, society today does not treat women with honor and dignity, but Scripture sure does. Daughters learn how to handle themselves with strength, dignity. Women, sons learn how to handle a woman, respect a woman, and honor her when they see this portrayed in the household. This godly woman can be confident in the Lord, confident in her family, can laugh when trouble comes, and that's really what that scripture is saying. She shall rejoice in time to come. That means no matter what's happening down the road, whatever comes along her way, she can rejoice in her Lord. In some translations, we literally say she laughs when trouble comes. Why? Why would a woman ever be able to laugh when trouble? Doesn't say she looks for trouble, but why would she be happy and laugh when trouble comes? Because she's confident in God, and she's confident in a relationship in her household, and that gives her strength to say, whatever comes down the pike, I can make my way through it. I can do this. I've shared for you years one of my favorite scriptures is what? Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter like the first dawn of sun. And what does it mean to you? The path of the righteous, you've heard me say it for years. I'll repeat it again. The path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. As you're following the things of God, and the wording in that scripture is when you get up in the morning, you've heard this, there's a daylight out, it's dawn, it's not real bright, but throughout the day it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. To some point in day, it's the brightest it's going to be. And God's saying, the path of the righteous, those that follow God, be it a man or a woman, his life or her life is going to get better and better as they follow the things of God. And so as we follow the things of God, I've purposed in my life to hang on to God, to study the Word, to grow in the things of God. Then I've said, guess what? My best days are yet to come. I've said that for years. I hopefully you're saying the same thing to yourself. And that's what it's saying here. You can laugh when trouble comes. Not that you embrace it and you enjoy it, but God's with me. I cannot be defeated. I cannot be, and I will not be forsaken. Her heart trusts in the Lord. She speaks with wisdom and discernment. A mom, a woman who fears the Lord, walks in his ways, and she then has great reward. Look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. I mean, our families, we go through difficult times. There isn't anybody in this room that hasn't had struggles in their household. There isn't anybody in this room that hasn't raised children and thought, geez, I really blew it there, or there's great tension in the household. There are, of course, some that had terribly dysfunctional households, and their families are dysfunctional, the children are dysfunctional, and as I said a few moments ago, there's healing in Christ and only in Christ in that. But the reality is, when we allow our lives to line up, I said earlier, with the things of God, your house becomes a godly household, your children will rise up and bless their mom with their mouth, with the way they treat her, the way they speak to her. Her husband does it as well. Her husband acknowledged her with a thankful heart. It said, godly woman. And then I want to tell you something. Contrary to popular belief, we are not at war with our wives. You may think so sometimes. It may be kind of the thought out there. There's an expression out there. It's been around for years. The battle of the sexes. You know, we just don't get along. We don't get it. We fight. We argue. That comes from those who do not understand God's plan for their lives. Now, this would probably be a great shock to you this morning, but I'm going to say it anyway. Men and women are entirely different, right? Can I get an amen from the men? I mean, we're different. And some of our differences we rejoice in, okay? We're glad that we're different. God created that way. But we think differently. We don't see the same thing eye to eye, and it creates great conflict. Something will come into the household and a decision needs to be made, or just a conversation along the way. And all of a sudden, the woman sees one thing one way, the man sees it this way over here, and you're wondering, how did we ever even come together in the first place? We can't see eye to eye. We don't understand this. We're fighting, we're arguing, and we don't get along. And it's because we misunderstand God's plan and purpose in creating us that way. Because sometimes, I'll be honest, years ago, you look at God and you think, why did you do this, Lord? Why did you make us so different? How come you didn't make the woman just to agree with the man? Did I say that out loud? we wonder, why are we so different? You know, Scripture tells us when God created Adam, Adam had this wonderful vertical relationship, named the animals and the things of God. He had this great relationship with God, and God saw Adam. Everything he created, he created the earth, the stars, the grass, the trees, the animals. He said it was good. He creates man. He spends a little time with Adam, and he says, it's not good that Adam be alone. Now, if you wonder what that scripture means, have you ever been around a group of guys that are alone for any length of time by themselves? You know? I'm telling you, we will get in trouble without fail. We just do. And I was blessed to spend some time with my grandkids this last week, and my grandson did some silly things. I forget with it. And it's like, don't ask him why he did it. He just did it because he's a boy. We do goofy things. It makes sense to us at the time. If you're looking for an explanation, there isn't one. It just seemed logical when we did it. We can look now and say, what was I thinking? Please understand, we weren't thinking. That just satisfies it all. I remember years ago, I was listening to Joseph Stoll on the radio, and he was talking. Remember Promise Keepers was a big thing? And in one week, and he went to a Promise Keepers meeting, which just all men, the Promise Keepers, a whole stadium full of men. And the next Sunday, the very next day, he was there on a Saturday. The next day, he was at a couple's gathering in a stadium. He said, when I was with the men, there were balls being thrown back, yelling, screaming, all this crazy stuff. The next day, different men, but men with their wives are sitting there quiet. We're not good when we're alone. God said, these guys can't be alone. They're going to come up with something good. So God creates Eve. When Adam sees Eve, allow me to have a little liberty with the scripture, but he's really taken, overwhelmed with her beauty, and it's like, she's like me, only better. And he begins to see that she completes him. So God knows that he created man and woman. He didn't create us with infinite wisdom. He created us with limitations. And so in my life, what I've learned, and this will really help you, I'm serious about this, when I have a thought or an idea, maybe it's even from God, I'm going to look at it, I'm going to think about it, I'm going to weigh it, and I'm going to see it in its completion as a man, because that's how I'm created. But I can tell you right now, there's a side of it that I'll never see, because I don't think like that. So when I talk to Chris about it, my wife, she's going to see something entirely different, something I would never see because she thinks like a woman. I don't understand what a woman thinks like sometimes, but I've begun to learn and understand that she's going to see a side of something I would never think about. Therefore, when we come together in completeness. God completes the relationship in a man and a woman. And the same thing, women, for your husbands. Or your future husbands, if you're not married at this point in time, you're going to have a thought, you're going to have an idea, you're going to have a discussion, you're going to have a decision to make, you're going to see it clearly as a woman. There's a side to it that you'll never see because you don't think like a man. And so when we begin to get that this man and woman thing is not at conflict, it's not for World War III or whatever it might be, it's to complete each other. Now the key in this is this, when you sit down as a couple and you have this discussion, and you listen with respect, honor, and dignity to the other person's point of view, you both have to agree that you will respect that. You may not do that. For example, if I talk to Chris about something and she has an idea or a side to it that I never saw, I may not implement that, but I at least considered it. I at least gave it the respect. And 9 times out of 10 or 99 out of 100, I'll implement that part of it or bring a section of it in it because it makes sense. And the same thing to you women. What will happen is this, that you will begin to have a decision or thought in your life, and you will look to the other mate for their side of it. You'll say, I need to hear this. I need to understand this. And therefore, this whole society's view of men and women fighting and arguing, is completely outside of Scripture and God's plan for your life. So you got to come together in maturity. You got to understand each other and respect each other. And we look at this godly woman here, and the heart of it, here's a man that says, you know, he says, you know, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. It has a ring of victory. It should be our confession. It should be our confession that this woman that God has placed in our life is the woman, the greatest woman in the world for me. Greatest mother for me. However you look at that, and that's the heart of God. And then Proverbs 30 and 31, it's interesting. Proverbs closes where Proverbs began. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs starts out with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Verse 30, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Husbands and children, live a lives that are blessed by a godly wife and a godly mother. If we do nothing else, if we only learn to say in our lives that I am going to become as best I can, all that God intended for me, and I'm going to take the people in my life, be it my wife, my children, my grandchildren, I'm going to help them and support them and become all they can be in Christ. What's going to happen to your life? You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed beyond measure because you're allowing God's word to line up your lives. Let's stand together this morning. Invite the worship team to come forward and let's have some time of worship.
As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into the sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace, and I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into the sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace, and I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Almighty God, Almighty God, you're so awesome in this place. You're so awesome in this place. Oh, you're a mighty God. Oh, a mighty God.
Maybe we begin to understand when God's Word is our standard, and not TV, not movies, not the media, we become blessed. Allow His Word to line up with our lives. I'm going to close in prayer here, and after I pray, if you feel you have need of prayer, maybe you're struggling in your relationship, maybe you're struggling in a past relationship, maybe you're just struggling physically, whatever you have a need, I'm going to open the altar up, and as I always do on Sundays, but I just really strongly sense God wants to do something unique in our lives. So we're going to close, but if you want to come forward, please feel free to do that, and let's pray. Father, first and foremost, you are awesome in this place. And as we close this day and we think about this as our one-year anniversary of this facility, we stand in awe of what you've accomplished with this church and this building above and beyond what man could have done in the slightest. So we give you the honor. And we look for years to come of being an impact in the communities around us, being an impact in the lives of each other, but certainly in the lives of those that are not here yet, that you desire to speak in their lives and bring healing into their lives. So we give you the honor for this year, give you the honor for all that we've done. And now, Father, as families head on out to spend this Mother's Day together, we pray for these families that your grace would be upon them, those that have their moms still with them, that they spend time with them and can be blessed in their households. As families gather, there's peace and love and compassion. Where there might have been strife or contention or misunderstanding, that this is a day to have forgiveness, to have insight, to have compassion, in love and kindness one to another. Thank you for your grace in our lives. We thank you clearly as your people go, that your angels would encamp about them, protect them and keep them in all they do, that your grace would be in their lives, and your hunger for them to follow hard after you would fill their lives on a daily basis, as you are God of provision. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't forget there's cake out there in the coffee bar and free coffee.